You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon, I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend, and join us today are Debbie Torres, Eileen Martinez, and Nicole Farini, and they're here to talk about something very special, All-American City. We've heard about All-American people, and well, El Paso, you are an All-American City, and thanks to these ladies and everybody else who helped them out. But first of all, I'd like to welcome you all to the show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's start off with you first. Nicole, tell us a little bit about the background of this campaign. How did this all come about?
Sure. So the All-America City Award is something that's put forward annually by the National Civic League. And at the risk of making it a bigger deal than it is, I will say that this is like the World Cup for cities. This is something that recognizes communities that are really excelling and setting the standard for the nation in terms of civic engagement. And in this year, it was about diversity and equity and how well we are listening to our people. So for the city of El Paso, it was so important for us to engage in this effort. The last time, we won this twice before, in 1969, and then again in 2010. So it's been 8 years, and we decided it was time to tell the nation the story of this community one more time.
So when you prepare for something like this, because you're up against other cities, and some of those cities, you know, have perhaps a lot more money for campaigning, for marketing. But as you just mentioned, it's not about the money. It's not about the flashy signs. It's about the people, because they're the ones who make up the city.
You're absolutely right. And I think that that was something that the National Civic League recognized, not only in the presentation that we gave in Denver, but in our application. So to back up to what you mentioned, cities from around the country apply for this. You put together a written application that tells the story of your city. We were selected as one of only 20 finalists from the entire country. We were one of only two cities in Texas to be selected. So when we went out to Denver and we brought our A game, I would venture to say that, you know, a little bit of bias acknowledged, I think we outshone everyone that was there. We ended up as one of the All-America cities, and I think it was a very, very well-deserved honor.
I would imagine, too, that because of the – well, it's changed now because of social media, but before there was always the stereotype, the Marty Robbins song, El Paso, which is – we're very grateful for Marty Robbins, but at the same time, a lot of people still thought that there were – dusty roads, people on horseback, and all that.
So the mayor says this all the time, and I think it's so relevant. El Paso is the undiscovered jewel of this country. One of the things we talked about at the All-America City Award is that All-America cities exemplify the best of this country. And what I continue to put forth is that if you are looking for the best of the best, what makes America great, all you need to look at is the city of El Paso. We are a strong binational community. We represent a region of diversity, equity, engagement, and opportunity. You know, El Paso is often perceived as, you know, maybe we're 150,000 people with a few tumbleweeds. We are 685,000 people strong, 2.5 million people in the region. We are as big as Denver.
And
it's time to be recognized.
As you mentioned earlier, too, very diverse.
Very diverse, absolutely. You know what's interesting about El Paso's diversity is if you look at our ethnic makeup, we are predominantly Hispanic. However, when you talk about diversity, it's about more than just your ethnic background or your race. We are incredibly diverse in terms of our economic standing. We're diverse in terms of our educational backgrounds. We're diverse in terms of our lifestyle choices. But El Paso is beautiful and unique because all of that comes together to form the fabric of this community we're so proud of.
And we'll be back and talk a little bit more with Nicole. But as I mentioned, Debbie Torres is also with us, as well as Eileen Martinez. And Debbie, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in all this.
Well, I guess my journey started maybe about 5 years ago after I retired. I thought that I wasn't really sure what that retirement picture was going to look like. And then I heard about the Neighborhood Leadership Academy that is sponsored by the City of El Paso Neighborhood Services. I heard about it. I thought, wow, you know, that's something I'd really like to do. And when I got in the Neighborhood Leadership Academy, my life just definitely took a shift. I started finding out about all of the people that make this city great, that make it work every day. And it was just, I mean, it was just eye-opening to me. And then at the same time, I could see in my community that there were so many needs that needed to be addressed. And I was a little, nervous about putting myself out there, but I knew that I had to take that risk. I had to go out there. And so then I began to take steps to forming my own neighborhood association. We have a wonderful team of people at Pueblo Viejo Neighborhood Association, which is the association that I belong to. Wonderful group of people that come together and really are committed to making our community better and ultimately making our city better. And that's kind of like how it happened for me. One thing led to another. I got involved on a neighborhood council, neighborhood coalition council. I'm chair of the CDBG steering committee. It's just taken me a lot of places I never thought I would go, and everything has been a joyful experience for me.
And of course, as Nicole and Debbie have both been talking about, diversity in the people, and one of those fine persons is with us right now, Eileen Martinez, and you. Well, first of all, congratulations, because you were awarded All-American Youth. Tell us about the title. And perhaps I got the title wrong, but you deserve all the titles.
Yes, she does. I got the All-American Youth Leadership Award. And what I did for that award was that I was, first of all, studying. I would rehearse in my life. I would question myself, like questions that they would ask me. And then I went in front of two judges. I was talking about my community and how I'm helping and how I made it here. I made it this big because of the chess team. I joined the chess team when I was in sixth grade. And then from there, in eighth grade, we started doing conferences. And I started liking that. My life wasn't good. Everyone saw me as a failure for a lot of reasons, but then I didn't want that. I wanted to make myself proud and my family. So I started with the chess team, and that was making my family proud, but it still didn't make me really proud. So with the conferences, I went and gave a conference in NAPE, the National Association for Bilingual Educators. I gave that conference, and I liked it because a lot of teachers came up to me telling me that because of me, they're going to try harder, and that just made me really happy because I'm helping others. So I was talking to the judges about what I'm doing for my community and how I'm an example for them. So what I've been doing is that, first of all, it's the whole chess team. We're all doing clubs where a lot of people come. We go teach elementary and everything. So a lot of people see good in us, and they see faith in them that they could do something. A lot of people that went through what I went know that there is a way out. So that's the way I made it here, and why I reserved that.
I just have to add. I just have to add that when we started pursuing the award, the All-America City Award, we knew that there was a youth leadership component to it. And it was up to us as a city to nominate someone. After I think I spent 3 minutes with Eileen, and I knew she was the one we needed to nominate. This young lady is incredibly impressive, and we knew that putting her forward not only gave her tremendous opportunity to tell her story, but it gave us an opportunity to exemplify how El Pasoans can overcome any challenge that is presented to them, what may seem like insurmountable obstacles. But young people like Eileen are the future of this community, and we couldn't have been more proud to have nominated her.
So Eileen, tell me a little bit about how did you get interested in chess?
It was in sixth grade. I just waited outside for a whole hour because my mom would work. And one of my friends, she told me to go, and she's like, go, you're going to like it. But I didn't like it at the beginning, because I was like, it's just a board with pieces and we move them. I was like, I don't really find the meaning of chess. But then once I started playing it, my coaches made it fun for me. When you play the game, you get trapped in it, because now you start thinking of all these ways how to beat your opponent or how to get out of trouble. And the game of chess is exactly like your life, because you control your life and you control your game. You always have to think 5 moves ahead, such as in your life, you have this plan where you're going to go to college and you're going to study your career, but sometimes it doesn't happen. So you need to find a new plan in such and chess. You have this nice 10 moves that you might win, but your opponent could do something and it's going to stop it. So that's why I started getting more into chess, because it's taught me a lot of life. And I've seen my life better with chess. It might sound weird, but it really is. Once you play the game, you're going to really start thinking ahead in your life. You're going to know what's right and what's wrong. You're going to know how to get out of trouble and when not. So that's why I got involved into chess more.
Now, tell me a little bit about when you were in Denver and you were competing. And tell us about your interaction with perhaps some of the other youth and some of the people at this conference.
I met this guy that won the other All-American City Youth. His life wasn't like mine. He grew up with his parents and everything. He had everything he had, because he was telling me. But he was teaching other kids, and whatever he had, he would give it to other kids that really need it. So I wasn't really alike with other people because of my history, because I grew up without a father. I went through bad depression last year. So it was nice meeting new people, because I would tell them about my story and they would tell me, oh, I'm really proud of you. And that's something that's nice to hear, because it went from people thinking I was going to fail in life to people saying that they were looked up to me. So that's why it was really nice. I interacted with mostly adults, because I didn't really see a lot of kids. I was one of the kids in there, so it was nice seeing new adults and adults looking up to me and myself looking up to them. So that's what I would say of interacting with other people.
Well, as a city, and everybody is very proud of you. And again, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, Debbie, getting back to you, as far as getting ready for something like this, you said you got involved with your neighborhood association. And there have been times where we get, and you can see it all the time when you go to a restaurant, you're at a bus stop, wherever, and you see people just engage with their phones or something else. They don't talk to anybody. And someone once said that we've gotten to the point where instead of talking with our neighbors, we use the garage door as our drawbridge to a castle, and it closes and we don't have any interaction. But groups like yours give you an opportunity to reach out to other neighbors, to communities, and then together do what you just did.
Right. Yes, we've had a lot of wonderful opportunities to do that. One of the really neat things that's happened with our neighborhood association is we've been able to partner with Isleta High School. As part of that, when we were speaking with the principal, we asked her if she would be open to having two of her students be honorary board members in our association. And she was. She was very open to that. So she brought those two students. They have had an opportunity to experience community issues at the grassroots level. They've come to our meetings. They come to our board meetings. They've been involved in some of our outreach activities. And so that, in turn, has helped them to gain an understanding about what being a community member is about. And actually, they have even benefited from it, because out of their association with us, they were able to connect with some other community partners, and they are both working on internships this summer. So it's been such a neat thing to see that it's been a win-win. And we've also been able to connect with other neighborhood associations. For example, I'm on the neighborhood council, and my area of connection is with the Mission Valley, with all the neighborhood associations out there. So it's been wonderful, the collaboration and the camaraderie we've had with other neighborhood associations, finding out what they're doing, what they've done. We all learn from each other, because some of them have been around longer than others, and it's, you know, kind of a best practices thing. So we've been able to come together on several community issues that have affected us, and been able to stand in solidarity with that association that has that issue that they need support from. So it's really been eye-opening for me. It's always it's always something new and something really beneficial that we've been able to do as part of our formation of our association and interacting with other folks.
I'd just like to add that, you know, the story that Debbie is telling is a supreme priority for the city of El Paso. One of the things, as we started investigating our own resilience, if you will, our own, as an organization, ability to survive, adapt, and thrive in the face of the changing conditions in our community, we recognize that one of the areas that we can do better is how we dialogue and engage with the public. When an organization, a governmental organization, is communicating with the public, it's traditionally a public hearing of some kind. There's a one-way stream of communication. Maybe we receive feedback, but it's very static. So one of the priorities that we've set as an organization and as a community is to leverage the volunteerism and the service and the neighborhood coalitions, I think, energy of our community and truly dialogue, so that the shape of this city, the shape of our future, whether it be economic development, physical development, street improvements, or policy, we want that to be reflective of this vibrant community that we love so much. So it's a very high priority for the city.
And also, you know, I'd like to add that I see neighborhood associations as the primary tool for civic engagement, for making quality of life what it should be, because it starts with one or two people and it just blossoms from there. And it's, you know, it can be a citywide movement, and that's what we see it as. Individuals coming together, you know, for common goals and purposes, being able to integrate their goals and their missions with the rest of the community. I mean, we very much believe in the idea of neighborhood associations linking with businesses, because that's where the power is. That's who we are. We are all one community. Mm-hmm. And the more that we connect with each other, the stronger the city is going to be.
One of the things that we hear often is, you know, people always, we tend to look on the other side of the fence, mm-hmm. and saying, oh, it's really better out there. And we kind of overlook everything that we have. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not until we have visitors from out of town or friends that we show them what we have. And we realize, wait a minute, I didn't know this was here. Or I've drive by this place all the time. And just this morning we were discussing how great the El Paso Zoo is. And people say, mm-hmm. oh, I've been to the zoo and it wasn't very good. Well, when did you go to the zoo? Well, 35 years ago, whatever. So, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's another priority for the city of El Paso, is to continue to improve not just quality of life, but quality of place in every district in our community, in every area of our community. We are making tremendous investments, whether it be public-private partnerships and trying to bring in more recreational opportunities. You know, we just built a Topgolf on Mesa. I don't know if any of y'all have had an opportunity to build that. What's important to understand about that is the largest Topgolf that exists outside of Las Vegas. So we're not bringing in mediocre amenities. We are really working hard to bring in the best of the best. And your city is getting in front of that. The other piece is the investments. You mentioned the zoo. We have made a tremendous investment in the zoo over the last, I would say, 10 years, and we continue to do so. The brand new Chihuahuan Desert exhibit is something that we are extremely proud of, and there's some interactive components to that. So it's a zoo in the way that you may not have thought of the zoo before. And so we're super excited. The splash pads that we have invested in and built across the entire city, regional aquatics facilities, these are things that we are being very resourceful internal to the city to deploy. And we want to be responsible stewards, not only of this community, but of the taxpayer dollar as well. And that's something, again, we have to listen. We have to then reflect what we hear in the investments that we make. And we're doing our best to do that. I will just, in closing, say that the grass is always appears greener on the other side. But I will tell you, when we go to Denver and we tell the All-America City story, when I go to New York City as part of our 100 Resilient Cities initiative, and I talk to other communities globally about this city, they whip their head around and say, I had no idea. And so I invite everyone to invite all of their friends to come to El Paso, because I'll tell you what, they have no idea how amazing it is.
So tell us a little bit about what you told the other cities and officials in Denver.
Absolutely. So we talked a lot about our people, our culture. We talked a lot about what it means to be the largest binational metroplex in the Western Hemisphere. What does it mean to be a binational community? And this isn't just a reflection of our relationship with Ciudad Juarez. It goes much deeper than that. The relationship and the cultural exchange between the United States and Mexico is exemplified in this place. And so one of the things we talked a lot about was the national narrative about our community and how that can sometimes be negative. But we want to shift that. We want to say this is a very positive place to be. This has been the safest large city in the country for many years. This is a prosperous, quality, safe place to be. And so that was a lot about what we discussed with our other cities. So this is a big city, but you still have that small town feel. You still have that connectivity to community. We are still family to each other. And so that was what I think was really interesting to those other places, is how El Paso manages to be this dynamic, robust, growing, sixth largest city in Texas, and still be, you know, familia, right? The way we are.
And as far as the developments, like you mentioned, Top Golf, I heard skydiving is coming to El Paso.
iFly, yeah.
Well. So there are many hidden treasures there. Mm-hmm. And people may drive by on the freeway and look at this big complex going, gee, I wonder what's there. Mm-hmm. But those people who have actually stopped and go through there find out that there's a theater, there are many different stores, there's a farmer's market, and if you want to extend out and say you're into organic produce, whatever, there are so many local farms here that provide that atmosphere for our people.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, there's always this dialogue about, you know, El Paso needs to remain El Paso. You know, we need to preserve our identity. And so sometimes there's a little bit of pushback when we bring in these large commercial venues. And I just want to acknowledge that. I'm talking about open two-way dialogue. When we bring in those venues, it's important because that increases our draw, right? We want more folks paying attention to El Paso. I'll tell you what, they may come for the Top Golf, but they're going to stay for L&J Cafe. You see what I'm saying? And so there is a broader strategy that the city is trying to be cognizant of. How do we take our regional draw and expand that by, you know, 500 or 600 miles more? How do we make sure that El Paso becomes a destination for folks and a place that we can all be very proud of? But we lean on El Pasoans to tell that story.
And let's go back to you, Eileen. As a young person, tell us a little bit about what you would tell your friends or somebody in Denver, in Seattle, in Chicago, if they say, well, what's there to do in El Paso for somebody young like me?
I would say that there's a lot to do because, I mean, we have a hot weather, but it's really nice because there's a lot of families in the parks. You see a lot of joy while you're driving around. So that's really nice. And there's not a lot of cities that if you're driving around, you're going to see kids playing outside or you're going to see families doing cookouts. So that's what I would say, because El Paso, it is like a family community. So by them coming over here, we're making El Paso bigger, and they're really going to feel welcome. I've been to other cities, and I don't feel the same as if I'm in El Paso. The food, it's really good. We have the Mexican food is delicious. American food is delicious, too. So we have all these cultures combined into one. That's really great, and other cities don't have that.
Debbie Torres, you've been in El Paso, in lifelong El Pasoan, and you've had many jobs in the city, and you've worked here at UTEP, and you've seen how much UTEP has changed in just the last 15, 20 years. People come by and go, wow, and it's been voted as one of the most beautiful campuses in the world.
That's right. I have seen that evolution, and I see UTEP is only getting better. I think UTEP is more and more wanting to reach out to the community, to the extended community, to be able to offer a relevant experience for people of all ages. College isn't just for the typical 18-year-olds education is here for all of us whenever we want to access it. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that you are never too old to learn. And so UTEP is a wonderful example of that with all the renovations and all of the changes that the campus has been going through over the years. I think it's made it even a more aesthetically pleasing place to go now that we've got more of a walkable campus. And the fact that we have so many people here from all over globally that are either students or faculty or staff, and what this does is this just, I think it meshes perfectly with the community that UTEP is in, because I'm sure that if we were to do one of those robust censuses, we'd find out that a lot of the people who come to UTEP, whether it's to work or to attend school, they wind up staying in El Paso because they love this community.
And you mentioned the diversity among our people, and of course, Fort Bliss here brings millions of families here all the time from all over the world and all over the country.
I'm so glad you mentioned Fort Bliss, because one of the things that we pushed forward in our application for All America Cities is the incredible diversity that is introduced from Fort Bliss. And some of those folks choose to stay in El Paso permanently, but even the ones that don't, it's not just the active military, it's their families. And when we say Fort Bliss is El Paso is Fort Bliss. And when Eileen talks about El Paso being a family that welcomes others, that's the relationship we'd like to emphasize with Fort Bliss. And we're actually having an event this weekend that does that. We're partnering with a group, we being the city, we're partnering with a group called The Mission Continues. We're going to be replanting some gardens out at Bowie High School. But we are bringing in what they call a volunteer service platoon, engaging with veterans and active military to come in and provide a service to this community. Now, that's twofold. It's not just the service to the community, but particularly veterans that are exiting the military or military that are transitioning out. They have lived in the military with a sense of purpose and a mission. So when they're transitioning out, there's a sense of uncertainty. And what we're saying and what the Mission Continues talks about and tries to do is continue that mission, continue that purpose. Do it in El Paso. Let's come together. And so we're very excited to be hosting that this weekend at Bowie High School.
Nicole, as we close our interview on the program, is there a website that people can go to find out more about this award and perhaps even see your presentation?
Absolutely. So you can visit the City of El Paso website. It's elpasotexas.gov, and El Paso, Texas is all spelled out. And there would be a link to the All America City information there, as well as a video that we did. We have a media crew at the city as well, and we do a bit called Our City in Five, and there's a great wrap-up of the All America City effort, which highlights Miss Eileen and Miss Debbie, not just the presentation, but a lot of the fun we had while we were in Denver. So I encourage folks to link on that and watch it. You can also Google EP Connect, and you'll be able to reach into our social media.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We've been visiting with Debbie Torres, Eileen Martinez, and Nicole Farini, talking about the award All-American City that El Paso has been tapped with, and also Eileen, All-American Youth Leadership. The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Sines.